African Diaspora Today is brought to you by the Urban Health Initiative at the University of Chicago Medical Center. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to African Diaspora Today on WVON AM 1690, The Talk of Chicago. Call us at 773-591-1690 and join in on the conversation. Before we continue, I want to acknowledge our sponsor, the Urban Health Initiative at the University of Chicago Medical Center. The Urban Health Initiative is dedicated to improving the long-term health for residents on the south side of Chicago. To learn more about it, please go online to www.uchospitals.edu. Now, our last segment was about migration. We had somebody that didn't get to get their question in. My guests have gone about that, but I hope I can take the question or comment and do it justice. So I'm going to give you a chance to get on. William, welcome to African Diaspora Today, and thanks for holding.
Good afternoon, my dear sister. Good afternoon to the DOM family. I'm sorry that your guests have gone, because I would like to ask your guests the question, especially the Latino guest. He's on here advocating pretty good for his Latino brothers and sisters, and I wonder, does he feel that same fervor for the black community as he goes throughout the city and see his countrymen working on 70% to 75% of the jobs here, and no black people. I wonder, does he feel the same way when he sees that? I wonder if he ever, brings that up to some of the city officials or some of the companies that they work for. I don't understand Spanish, so I can't say what happened on Latino stations. But I noticed that they'll come to our stations and advocate for themselves very well. very well, but I never hear them saying, well, look, well, we got enough jobs now. We're working pretty good here, pretty regular. 70% of these people out here working are probably Latino. What about hiring some black? I never hear that. And I would like to have asked that guest that.
Well, I am sorry that we didn't get a chance. I'm going to do another show strictly on this topic because I think the topic is very important to us. We're very fervent about it. We know we need work. We need work in our community, and we need to talk about how to advocate for it, how to organize for it, and how to demand it. So thank you very much for your call, and I'm going to switch gears now and go into my topic for this hour. And so right now we're going to be speaking to Ngelo. And he, Ngelo Dabankulu. And he is from the organization Abahali Basim Jandolo. And it is a Zulu word that means people who are shack dwellers. It's an organization and a movement that's fighting for the rights of South Africans who are living in poverty. The organization began in 2005 in Durban, South Africa. And one of their priorities is land and housing opportunities in specific cities of South Africa. You might recall that we had them as a guest on our show before when we were talking about housing rights from an international perspective. The group has also been fighting for an end to forced removals or gentrification efforts. They've been fighting for access to education and the provision of water, electricity, sanitation, and health care. In some settlements, the movement has also successfully set up projects and cooperatives to support people living with and orphaned by AIDS. They're with us today to give us an update on this incredible organization and movement that involves a lot of young South African leaders and activists. They're also going to give us a commentary on some recent developments concerning the killers of South African miners of Marikana, whom they have formed solidarity with. So, Ngelo, welcome to African Diaspora Today.
Thank you to you and thank you to the viewers at home as well.
Well, listen, bring us up to date on what's happening with your housing efforts. I know the name of your organization means people who are shack dwellers, which would imply that you're trying to move beyond shack dwelling to some better housing and to keep the land from being regentrified but returned to the people. What's going on with that?
Yeah, well, housing is one of the top demands that the organization is advocating for, and we want the government to fulfill that dream and that promise because it is guaranteed in the Constitution of the Republic as well as the founding document of the leading party, which is ANC, the Freedom Charter.
So are you having any success with it? Because, you know, we understand that people are a little disappointed with the length of time it is taken to really correct some of these issues when it comes to housing, and that people are still mass numbers of them living in very substandard conditions. What is the status of that, and what is the current government doing to speed things up?
Well, the government is trying to build houses, and our local municipality is claiming to be building around 15,000 houses. Unfortunately, even though they build those houses, the number of people living in the informal settlement doesn't decrease simply because some of the people within those low-cost houses are occupying them on basis of corruption and favoritism, because the Constitution says that someone who must get a low-cost house is someone who is earning less than 3,500. But you find out in the low-cost houses, you find there are a lot of professionals like teachers, nurses, and so on, police personnel who have gained these houses through corruption. So the government can build as many houses as government can. But if the monitoring process in terms of corruption and favoritism is not taken into consideration, the change will be so little.
So what kinds of things is your organization doing to try to fight against that corruption to make certain that the housing goes to the people who really need and deserve it?
As an organization, we're always willing to partner the government to root out corruption. And the government will always tell us, that it will always say things on radio that people must report corruption and people must report corruption. But when we give them details and to discipline people who have done that particular error, the government is reluctant to do so, simply because you found that the people who are associated with corruption are the people who are mostly respected within the leading party, where you find that the leading party is not willing to discipline such kind of people. If someone can even have a chance to visit Abahlali website, you could see some articles where we made some remarks that Nandi Mandela, who is a granddaughter of the first national president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, was implicated with the corruption of Bulla Housing Project. And we've been calling upon the municipality to investigate the whole project, because we've got people who are our members who don't have houses, but according to the database of the municipality, they should have been housed on those particular housing projects. That's what we're trying to do as an organization. Unfortunately, when we try to partner the government take us as a threat, as an enemy, which does make it not to work well according to what you wish. But as an organization, we believe that we are not part of corruption, we are not part of the problem, therefore we are part of the solution. So what we want our government to do is to open a platform for us to share ideas, because we believe that the ideas that we have will make a big change in the housing allocation of houses in South Africa.
It sounds as though you're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place, because you're the government is putting up the housing. That's who you have to work with around the housing, but that's also where some of the corruption comes in. So it sounds familiar. It's certainly not something that just happens in South Africa. We've had situations pretty similar to that, and quite frankly, we have a crisis of low-income housing going on in our city as well, so we can certainly empathize with that. Is your movement growing? I know it's a young movement, and it has a lot of young people involved in it. Do you see a growth in the movement, and are you having success with your agitation for more housing?
Yeah, the movement is growing day in, day out, and one of the things that makes the movement to grow is the level of evictions and the level of oppression by private sector as well as public sector, simply because some of the people, when they are facing evictions or any kind of oppression from the tycoons, you know,
yes,
they are referred, or they are referred by some people that Abahlali is a relevant organization to help you in this particular challenge you're facing. So the more the eviction case, the more families and communities are evicted, the more people join the movement. And since we already made this documentary, which we call it Dear Mandela, which highlights the plight of the shack dwellers and living conditions of shack dwellers after democracy, most people have seen the documentary on cinemas. Some have seen it on university screening and community screening. And it's also fortunate enough that it is publicized, is broadcasted on the satellite channel in South Africa, which is a DSTV channel, a paid channel. So most people always watch the movie and then follow up and wanted to know, because when they watch the documentary, everybody come to Abahlali office and say, what I've seen on TV is me. Then I wanted to be part of this movement. And we're gaining lots of international friends as well, since we are in the Dear Mandela film production city tour, as well as Haiti. So now we are in the, yes.
Is there any scheduled screening of the movie Dear Mandela in Chicago?
Yes, we are screening the Dear Mandela documentary at 8 o'clock p.m. on Monday in the University of Chicago in Logan Center for Arts, 921 East 6th Street.
It's East 60th Street.
Yes.
Yes, at the new Logan Center for the Performing Arts. I think that's very important. I'm so glad I asked you that question. So people who are interested in seeing the film, understanding some of the struggles that continue in South Africa, please go to Logan Center. Is it Monday night?
Yes, we would like
Monday night at 8 p.m.?
Monday night.
Monday night at 8 p.m. to see the film Dear Mandela. And you will get to get more familiar with some of the work that Angelo and his colleagues are doing. We did not get a chance to touch on the situation with the miners at Maracana before going to break. So I'd like to talk about that when we get back from break, because I want to give it enough time for you to really explain the situation with us, to us. So I'd like to ask you to stay on, and I think that we may be joined also by Sibande, also from your organization. Guests, please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're welcome.
This is Dr. Dorian Miller with a quick tip for a healthier you, brought to you by the Urban Health Initiative of the University of Chicago Medicine. The Urban Health Initiative is a partnership with the University of Chicago Medicine, public leaders, community groups, healthcare providers, and you. The Urban Health Initiative, uniting to build a healthy community. October is Breast Cancer Month, and early prevention is something we can all take part in. Avoid becoming overweight. Obesity raises the risk of breast cancer after menopause for women, the time of life when breast cancer most often occurs. This quick tip was brought to you by Dr. Dorian Miller and the Urban Health Initiative of the University of Chicago Medicine, uniting to build a healthy community.
There's a special comfort to feeling at home, feeling that people know you and care about you. The Southside Healthcare Collaborative believes that feeling at home should extend to your health. That's why a network of health centers and hospitals are working in your neighborhood to find you a medical home, a place where you have your own doctor, one who knows you and cares for your health, one who will be there for the long term. To find a medical home near you, call 773-702-5668.
This is African Diaspora Day, and I'm your host, Dr. Carol Adams. We are speaking with Angelo, who is from the organization Abalale Basimjandolo, the people who live in shacks. They are working in the Zulu, well, that's Zulu for the people who live in shacks. They're working in South Africa on issues of housing, education, access to clean water, sanitation, and health care. So right before we went to break, I said I was going to ask you about the situation with the South African miners. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, well, the miners are still on strike, but the first miners who started the strike have managed to circle some memorandum of understanding with their bosses in Maracana Lone Mine Mines. Unfortunately, those agreements were made after the people's lives were lost in the hands of the police, which as an organization, as well as a nation, we condemn the police brutality in South Africa, in Africa, as well as the world, because police needs to be reminded that their role is to protect the citizens, not to kill them. So we still condemn that, but in Maracana, the workers are back on work, but the other miners are also striking because the salaries that the miners are getting are really, really uncalled for in a democratic society and with a fast-growing mining economy in the South African land. So other miners are still on strike as well.
Now, I imagine that's part and parcel of a much larger issue with regard to who benefits from what actually they are mining. And so I know that this is a work in progress. We like to keep up to date and well informed about what's happening in South Africa. The miners were striking, I think, for better wages. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what about their working conditions?
The working conditions are very, very, very difficult. That is why they say the salaries that they are given are really an insult. They take into consideration the sweat, the compromise, and the risk that these people are working under, and also the treatment and the behavior of their bosses is also uncalled for, because before even the police shoot the miners, but the miners have agreed. The mining management and the supposedly union representation, the National Union of Mine Workers, agreed that the miners should be killed by the police, which is very, very unfair in a democratic society, because we believe that the bosses have got all the powers to negotiate a fair wage that will make the workers happy as well as the bosses happy than killing them.
So then you have to wonder, whose interests are the police protecting?
Exactly. That's why we need to remind the police that the role of the police is to protect the citizens, not to protect the individuals or the rich people.
Yes. Yes. Well, we are glad that you were able to give us that update. I understand you also have with you Sibande.
Zodwa, yes.
Yes. Zodwa?
Yes. Okay. Then okay. In terms of the screening, then before we give the chance to Zodwa, is that people can also follow the documentary on Twitter. It's dearmandela.com on Twitter as well as on Facebook.
Okay.
Then people who couldn't have a chance to go to the Chicago University to watch the screen are welcome to contact us or on our website. Details are there. Then we can make some means of that particular person to receive a documentary if he or she cannot have a chance to go to the Chicago screening. Then let me give the chance to Zodwa.
Thank you very much. And again, listeners, if you want to see the film Dear Mandela, it'll be screening tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Logan Center for the Performing Arts. You know, that's that new building right on the midway at the University of Chicago, 920 East 60th. It's going to screen tomorrow at 8 p.m. If you cannot, you can see it on Facebook. You can also see it via Twitter, as he indicated. Now, we'd like to find out from Zodwa a little bit about the work that she is doing with the organization, again, to try and address some of the challenges that are faced by people in the townships in South Africa. Welcome to African Diaspora Today.
Good day to the viewers.
Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about your work?
The work of Abahlali is to defend and protect the rights of the poor, and we've been doing this work since 2005, protecting the poor from being illegally evicted from by the state, and my other responsibility as part of the movement is to also invite young people to be part of the struggle, because we believe that the future, the young people are the future, so we must groom them while they're still young.
How do you in fact carry on this? What are the weapons, if you don't mind the use of that word, but what are the tools that you use with which to organize people and fight for the rights of the poor?
The weapons that we use to fight for the poor is to make sure that people themselves, they are the forefront of their own struggle, because as Abahlali, we always stress that as the organization as Abahlali cannot do it anything for you, but it will do it with you. And we believe that people have a power to change things, but you cannot change it all alone, but you need a united community to change it. So we always stress that if you want to join Abahlali, you need to first tell your neighbors, tell your family, because they are the one who will be able to hear you before, if you're facing any difficulties, before your organization can hear you. So, which is why it's so important for you to always, to not to join as an individual, but to join as United Force.
All right. Well, listen, we are, again, happy that we have had you back on our show so we can keep up with your work, so we can keep up with progress. And from time to time, we'd like to get progress reports from you. We're certainly going to all watch Dear Mandela. Stay involved. Stay engaged. We know that the people united will never be defeated. Thank you so much.
That's it. Thank you.
All right.